first reading this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 to 9, and you can find that on page 673 of your Pew Bible if you'd like to follow along. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness, he will judge the needy. With justice, he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea.
Thank you so much, Alan. And our gospel reading this morning is from Luke chapter 1. We're reading verses 39 through to 56. That's on page 991 in your NIV Bibles. And this picks up on the Christmas story where we left off a couple of weeks ago, actually, if you recall, Zechariah and Elizabeth, an elderly couple who had not been able to have a child. Suddenly, Elizabeth found herself pregnant in her senior years through the miraculous, wonder-working power of the Lord. And then the angel goes and tells Mary that she too will conceive. And Mary, in response, says to the angel, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." And so we pick up on verse 39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble estate of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months, and then she returned. My friends, this is the word of the Lord. My friends, I want to encourage you this morning to believe the good news of Christmas. And that good news is this, that God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. God can do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine because the Christmas angel tells us this, nothing, absolutely nothing will be impossible with God. But dare I say it, I'm wondering this morning, have I become immune to the impossible of God? I mean, do I no longer see and appreciate God's impossible wonders all around me, like the stars in the sky at night, like the changing of the seasons, like a universe perfectly aligned and coordinated for human life, like my beating heart and the millions of chemical reactions taking place within this body of mine every second of every day of my entire life? Have I become immune to the impossible of God? This is a serious question because, my friends, the impossible of God is our hope. It's our hope. What is absolutely impossible for human beings to accomplish, this is our hope, the impossible of God. And it is this very hope springing to life that causes Mary to drop what she is doing and make haste. She literally just makes haste that she might see the impossible of God in her cousin Elizabeth's life. And upon Mary's seeing of the impossible, well, it's like a geyser of God's impossible opens up right there before her. Because at the sound of Mary's voice, Elizabeth's baby leaps in her womb, kicks that aging liver, wallops that elderly kidney, such that this old pregnant woman is suddenly booted up to a higher level of existence than she has ever known before. Because suddenly Elizabeth knows things that human beings are not capable of knowing, like that this young woman standing before her is pregnant. She even knows who the child Mary bears is. She even knows that Mary has believed the Lord's word that was spoken to her. And this outburst of the impossible gushing forth from Elizabeth's mouth is so very contagious that Mary herself, she is caught up in its wake, such that Mary begins to sing out the impossible hope of God's people, this hope that had been lying dormant for so very long, until it finally erupts again from the lips of this young woman. And of course, my friends, of course, here's the thing about Mary's hope. And so here's the thing I believe Christmas is telling us, and this is my first point this morning. Christmas is telling us that the impossible, God's impossible, it's only and simply what God's people have longed for, dreamed about, hoped for so very long, just like Elizabeth herself. I mean, Elizabeth, this elderly woman who is now surprisingly pregnant. That's all Elizabeth ever wanted in her life. That's what she's been praying for years. That's what she has been passionately petitioning the throne of God for. A baby, the promised favor of God for his holy and righteous people, but for Elizabeth, it had been impossible to conceive. However, the Christmas angel tells us nothing will be impossible with God. Mind you, in Elizabeth's case, I imagine that most people would be so very quick to dismiss the impossibility of this pregnancy, no doubt explain it in many other ways. I mean, choo-choo, and I'm not slipping into my Thomas the Tank Engine rendition here. Choo-choo was the first name of the obstetrician that Kathy was sent to see when we were expecting Samuel. And Choo-choo was a Christian. He was a deeply spiritual man, and having gone over Kathy's medical records, I'll never forget this. I can still see it in my mind like I'm still sitting in Choo-choo's office. Choo-choo leaned back in his chair, and he laughed out loud. He laughed. And he said, God wanted you to have this baby because this baby is impossible. But a friend of mine I played hockey with, he showed up at my door when he heard the news. when I opened the door, he was laughing too. But he had other explanations for his laughter. And Mary, this woman who has now been caught up in the impossible of God, I mean, can you believe it? The angel informs Mary that the 700-year-old prophecy of the virgin birth is going to be fulfilled in her. And therefore, the child Mary will be the everlasting God come to planet Earth to save the world. Mary, you are going to be the agent of prophetic fulfillment through whom everything will change forever. So dare I say it, if I were to ask each of you at the door as you left for home this morning, if I were to ask you if you believe, yes, if you believed that you could be an agent of prophetic fulfillment through whom God would change the world forever, most likely we'd respond, impossible. It could never be. Not for me. No way, no how. So believe the good news of Christmas. Nothing will be impossible with God. That is, more precisely and exactly, and this is my second point this morning, nothing that God has said will ever be impossible for God to accomplish. Nothing that God has said. Even the Song of Mary. Yes, the Song of Mary, because while I can remember my preaching professor at university, this fellow really was a great preacher. He had presence, charisma, capability. He was a great crafter of the English language. But he said to us, Mary's song, I've tried to speak about Mary's song, and I just can never quite get into the flow of Mary's song because it's about the impossible. I mean, can you imagine in a world dominated by the Roman Empire, where all the power, military, economic, political, technological, it was in the hands of the Roman elite, and they had no intention whatsoever of relinquishing that power. Nonetheless, in the grip of God's impossible, Mary sings about a day we have never seen before. When the world is turned upside down, because the God of heaven has finally and definitively intervened in human affairs to fulfill his ancient promise to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, to send the tyrants and dictators of this world away hungry while raising up to power his own, his very own holy and righteous people. So whereas, again, I believe the words of this song, they're truly what God's people wanted. God's people languishing under Rome really wanted this. Nevertheless, I can't really imagine anyone in Mary's day seriously expecting Rome to be overthrown, her legions a thing of the past. Even as we ourselves today, I ask you this morning, are we expecting the impossible? Do we really believe that God can do because I really think the impossible, it's only what God's people have wanted for oh so long. Because, and this is my third point this morning, what God's people have wanted for oh so long is salvation. God's power rushing into this world to save us. And thus, Jesus so plainly tells us, salvation is humanly impossible. Even though, dare I say it, maybe we don't really believe Jesus on this one. Maybe we don't really believe Jesus. Because maybe we really do believe that we can be good enough all on our own. That we can actually do and be all that is necessary in order for us to get ourselves right into heaven. But my friends, whereas I hasten to add at this very point that Jesus so very clearly tells us, even that, just that, you and I getting ourselves into heaven by our own efforts, Jesus is saying, even that is impossible for you. However, and here's the thing, you and I getting into heaven, our spirits going to heaven after our bodies die, this is not the salvation Jesus is talking about. No, because God's salvation is the impossible world. The prophet Isaiah foretold. It's about you and I getting getting into that impossible world in which the fundamental realities of this present order, exemplified by things like carnivorous animals, animals that actually feed on other animals because they have to. It's just their programming. If they don't, they will die.
I mean, we had a cat once,
an older cat. And cats are, according to the vet anyway, cats are about as pure a carnivore as you ever will get. They have to feed on animals. They have no choice in the matter. It's their basic programming, mind you. Our old cat did like the occasional piece of a cream-filled donut. Nevertheless, it still remained a carnivore. That's just the reality of this world. But Isaiah foresees the impossible salvation of God. A world made new, in which even the fundamental biochemical programming of the animal kingdom has been changed forever. The lion will lie down with the lamb. And even human beings who have fought and killed each other since the dawn of recorded history, and to this day, we just can't seem to stop fighting and killing. Even human beings will beat their swords into plowshares and pour their resources into the things of peace. This is salvation. God's impossible salvation. It's not about you and I being spirits in heaven, but, and this is my fourth point, salvation is about a world made new. The entire creation's fundamental programming being radically altered. It's the creation becoming what it was always intended to be. And it's about flesh and blood, human beings in that world, fully participating in the power and glory of the living God. But of this salvation, we respond. Impossible. It can never be. And thus Jesus replies, you're right. With human beings, this is impossible. He says there's no way by your own efforts you can get yourself into that place. Because God's salvation comes to pass. God's salvation is born. Only when this present creation is finally and forever made to pass completely through God's cleansing judgment. Thus, to be scrubbed so thoroughly clean in the fire of the holy presence of the purifying God. And for this very reason, Jesus is adamant. With human beings, salvation is impossible. I mean, he doesn't say it's unlikely. He doesn't say only one in a million will make it. He doesn't say one in 10 billion or one in 3 trillion. He says never. Never, ever, ever. With human beings, never, ever. Salvation is impossible. Because, my friends, the cleansing judgment of God takes place upon the cross of Jesus. And so you and I, we must pass through that cross in order to enter into God's salvation. And here's the thing about the cross. That is, when the cross was simply a human instrument of execution, and so when there was no reality of God's cleansing wrath being poured out upon the one who was being crucified, well, the Romans, they crucified hundreds of thousands of people. I mean, during the great gladiator revolt under Spartacus, the Romans crucified Spartacus and all his gladiator friends every few meters down the main highway leading into Rome for about 30 miles. It'd be sort of like driving to Sackville and seeing someone on a cross every 10 feet down the road. And the Romans did this because it worked. It really worked. Those people died, and once they had died, they were gone. Salvation is impossible, humanly speaking. It's impossible because no human being can survive crucifixion. Indeed, no human being who is being crucified can pass through the cleansing judgment of God at the very same time and come out on the other side alive and well, healthy and whole, far more glorious and powerful than ever before. Because I know this about myself anyway. I know that my grasp on life is tenuous at best. Even in the best of circumstances, with absolutely everything going my way and me actually sort of working in some sort of consistent way on my health and well-being, I realize I'm only participating in something that really isn't mine by nature. I'm made up of all sorts of things that aren't even alive on their own, like iron and oxygen and water, all sorts of trace elements and nutrients, such that the very fact I'm alive is an absolute impossibility all on its own. And for this reason, my grasp on life, my ability to live, well, eventually, and albeit reluctantly, but inevitably, I'll lose my hold on life. And once I do, I can never get it back on my own, let alone, therefore, can I pass through God's cleansing judgment and come out on the other side into the salvation of God. So, my friends, believe the good news of Christmas. And this by way of conclusion this morning, nothing that God has said will be impossible for God to do. Nothing. Even Isaiah's vision of a world made radically new. Even Mary's song of a world turned upside down. Nothing will be impossible with God, because the child Mary bears is. He is the impossible salvation of God. He is the human being who is 100% God, and therefore the human being who really is the indestructible life of God in human flesh and blood, and therefore he can do. He can really do what you and I can never do. And again, by this I don't mean what only one in a million can do, or one in 10 billion, or maybe one in 3 trillion. No, I mean what no human being can ever do. And that is be crucified, that he might pass through the cleansing judgment of God, thus to die and be buried, that the old order might be buried along with him, never to rise again. And yet, for him to rise on the third day, far more glorious and powerful than ever before. And it's not even simply this alone, because the impossible salvation of God is for Jesus to bring the entire creation, the whole universe, indeed every man, woman, and child that will go along with him through the cleansing judgment of God, that in him and him alone, the impossible salvation of God might become the reality of this universe. So that in Jesus, yes, in Jesus, the lion will lie down with the lamb. In Jesus, people will be made so radically new that they will beat their swords into plowshares, because nothing will be impossible with God. So I believe that Christmas is calling us to believe in the impossible salvation of God all over again. For us to be people of hope in a world of despair. Because we know God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. We know that God can do the impossible. And that is to get you and I from here to there. To get you and I from this place right into the impossible world of God. Indeed, I think Christmas is inviting us to believe that we can actually be the doorways, the passageways, the very ones through whom God's impossible salvation enters this world today. Should we say yes? I mean, should you and I willingly say to Jesus, take me with you. Take me with you through your cross. Let me take up the cross along with you. If we will only say yes to Jesus, the way Mary did. I mean, this is actually what Mary did. She said, may it be to me as you have said. Yes, Lord, whatever your will for me is, may it be for me as you have said, that you might do your impossible thing through me, that all generations might call me blessed. I mean, can you imagine? She was just a no-name, nondescript peasant girl from the wrong side of the tracks. Yet now all people call Mary blessed because she believed. She actually believed the Lord's word to her. So my friends, I invite you to believe the Lord's word to us this morning. We can be the ones through whom the impossible salvation of God enters this world. We can actually be the fulfillers of the ancient prophecies because we can be the ones who bear Jesus into this world. Indeed, we will be the very people who are made so radically new that we will inhabit the impossible salvation of God, there to fully participate in the power and glory of God forever, because nothing will be impossible with God. Nothing will be impossible with God. Indeed, God is able to do immeasurably more than all we even ask or imagine, because nothing God has said will ever be impossible for God to do. Amen.